Are we started? Here we go. Hello, everybody. It's the Beat the Planner Show. False start. Hi, Kristen.
Hello.
How was that?
That was fabulous.
Kristen, I did not tell you I was going to talk about this on the show or even right now, but let's move you off your comfort pedestal here for a moment.
Oh, no.
What happened in the stock market on Tuesday that is one of the most fascinating things that has ever happened on the stock market and will be incredible to watch play out?
I am totally thrown off because I'm thinking of something that happened Thursday. What happened Tuesday?
What happened Thursday?
Well, it's in my news. I don't want to, but I don't think we're talking about the same thing. What happened Tuesday?
The Trump Media and Technology Group.
Oh, my word.
DJT, NASDAQ, the Donald Trump stock, which is kind of Truth Social, kind of not. Here's the good news. It is fascinating to me. I've been reading and listening, and I find it to be, it will be one of the most captivating investment stories for the next 18 months. Because I believe it, since there's really no underlying case for the financial fundamentals of this particular stock, given that they've got about $3 million of revenue and they're valued at $3 billion. By the way, but with that math, Kristen, your money line, you're valued at well over $3 billion.
That's so exciting. I'm really happy for us.
No, I think it's fascinating because there's literally nothing going on financially within the organization. So it is just a proxy of how people feel about Trump. You either buy a share because you think that helps, or you want to short the stock so bad because you can't stand him. And I think it is fascinating. It is fascinating.
Yeah, that's super interesting and is quite a parallel to some videos that I kind of dove into this week about like celebrity brands just in general and how, why they do and they don't succeed and the likeness of people and the way that it can capture investor dollars and then buyer dollars and how quickly those things tend to just like I don't know what word I want to use. They just like, they're coming right back out as quickly as they're going in is so interesting.
So here's a theory on the Trump stock that I have. I've spent way too much time thinking about this.
I believe you.
But that's the good thing about not being able to sleep at night is that there's plenty of topics to go through. So here's some possible theories here.
Okay.
What if, as polls continue to come out and we sort of see who's ahead in the presidential election, that the stock just goes up and up and up in this fervor of, hey, Trump's going to be president again. And so it just sort of rides the polls up. And so someone could, even if you don't care for Trump and you don't plan on voting for him, but you think he's going to win, which I know a few people who feel that way, you could make the argument that you could actually invest in the stock and benefit from that. And then there's also the idea that if for some reason he were to lose, the people who would have bought the stock anyway aren't going to sell it because they're buying the stock to support him and his stuff. And so then that's sort of foolproof. And then, Kristen, this is where it gets really wild.
Oh boy.
If this is actually a mechanism to get more money in the hands of Trump, which he, you know, has like $3 or $4 billion associated with this thing, then that is to say, at some point in time, he will sell his shares. And when you dump that many shares into the marketplace, the stock will tank and it will have been supported by all the people trying to support him. So all the people who are buying the stock because they love co-author of the Bible, Donald J. Trump, all the people who buy the stock to support him, when he sells all of his shares because he'll need money, they will all lose. That's what's going to happen.
So he is the equivalent of Reddit's Thunder Kitty.
there is some Thunder Kitty aspects to this.
Cause right. Wasn't that his whole thing? He like told other people, do we know who this person was? Like told everybody to buy and then sold out. Very interesting.
Now there are people that both believe he has legitimately been charged with a bunch of stuff. And there's a bunch of people who believe he's been illegitimately charged with stuff.
Sure.
And so great. I'm not here to certainly debate that today. But what I will say is, do either of those two groups of people not believe that this stock will have the most scrutiny ever by the SEC?
Oh, heavens, yes.
There will 100% mark the day and time, 100% be fraud charges associated with this stock. 100%. And it's not even based on whether I think there's fraud. It's that no matter what you think, both groups agree there will be scrutiny on this.
That's interesting. And I'm hoping that I can, I couldn't pull one up right away. Cause I was going to say, I just read an article about how many $1 million, Nancy Pelosi made like last week or the week before trading stocks.
Yeah.
So what's interesting is that we continue collectively to let that, she's not the only one, right? Sure. She's just the one we all love to talk about, but it's interesting that that continues to run rampant, but you're exactly right. It's like, this is all we're going to hear about for the next 4 years.
I will say this. The Pelosi situation is interesting to me because it is a whole other category of grift, right? It is like a whole, like you have inside information, you trade on inside information, right?
Two sides of the same coin for me, really.
Like, I don't think so. Because
I think it is.
No, here's why. And actually Jason points it out in the comments on this live stream. Because she can make trades based on this information, but she can't have foreign governments prop up the stock. Like it's completely True. Different, right? And it's at no point in time is the stock, whatever she's investing in, just going to dump when she leaves it. And that will 100% happen. Like it is guaranteed that the primary shareholder will pull all of their money out at some point in time. And that's what will happen with DJT. And I can't, I just want to watch it unfold. I don't want investors to get hurt, but they're going to.
People will, for sure.
And the crazy part is you can't even say, oh, hey, avoid it. Don't do it. Because what's going to happen is, at least in the next 8 months, there's going to be so much run up on it. There's money to be made.
This is not investment advice.
Not investment advice, but it's going to be interesting. So anyway, I'm reading here actually from the Bible. 420. I'm sorry. I love the news.
I do.
You don't want to talk about any of this, do you?
$60 is steep, but.
I know. All right. Very good. Let's talk about money. You ready to start the show? No Dame today. Dame is in paradise. Right?
Yes.
I haven't seen any picks yet. Have you?
Yes.
How do you get the picks and I don't?
Do you always respond when people text you?
Oh, God, no. No. It's time for that.
Maybe evaluate that.
He doesn't text any pictures. No, actually, I do generally respond.
Oh.
At least to you and Dame, I do.
That is true.
Yeah. In 3, 2, oh, pulled up the calculator again. Old man. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. This week on the Pete the Planner Show, we answer your money questions. Here's how the show works. Email us askpete@petetheplanner.com. That's askpete@petetheplanner.com, and we'll do our best to answer our questions. Here's what the show is not. It is not a show in which I give you like little bits of fun financial things, and then with the takeaway being, hey, call me on Monday so I can manage your finances. That's not what the show is. We are not a call me on Monday group. We are just here to serve the greater good. And by we, today at least, I mean Kristen Elanius, Director of Advice and Education of Advice at Your Moneyline. Hello?
Hello.
What? They're both things. I got all the words.
You did get all the words. It's just I feel like we've been here before.
Oh, Kristen, you've known me a very long time. We have been here before, but they jumble in my head.
That's fair.
Kristen.
Pete.
All right. So this May, when the Youngs finish matriculating through school, we will launch all of these college-educated Youngs out into the world, out into the ether, and they will need to start their financial lives. So what I wanted to do today is I wanted to get ahead of that a little bit as people come home, maybe for Easter. Happy Easter, everyone. I want to talk about what is the right roadmap for launching a financial life, especially in sort of a young professional sense. Like, where do we even begin with this?
Yeah, I think about myself, and maybe we can get to this point later, is like, what did I do well? And maybe what would I have done differently in hindsight, giving that advice. So I think it starts at, if we think of your money life or your money line, if you will, your timeline of money. I think it starts with the now and like the end, your expiration date. And we start with both of those things in this space, which is, how do we make sure that we have stability today and we're also securing our future success? And so I think my preference would be to start with a debt repayment strategy.
Okay. So you say to start a financial life with the end in mind, start with debt repayment strategy.
Yeah. Because ideally your debt repayment strategy is set it and forget it. And the reality of being kind of launched into, I used to hate it when people would say this to me, but you'll know what I mean, which is like, you're being launched into the real world. Ew, whether it's, I know, I hate that.
I can't believe you just said that.
Well, I prefaced it by saying I hate it, but now you know what I'm talking about, is whether you're coming from high school or you're coming from college and you're being launched into this space of full-time employment, the debt strategy is where I think people should start, because you're faced with so many decisions. Decision-making fatigue when it comes to your personal finances is so real. And I don't, anything that we can back burner, like, let's just do that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think student loan debt being the main debt people are trying to run from. Yeah. Is that, would you agree that most people starting their financial life are in the hole via student loans, and that's where you're like, hey, let's deal with your past?
Yeah, I think it's student loans. And I know a fair amount of people that graduated college with me that had small, relatively, amounts of credit card debt too.
Okay, that's fair. Beyond that, then it is a matter of, for me, it's okay, let's, what happened in the last 4 years? And now I'm immediately going to jump my brain forward 40 years.
Yeah.
That's how I think of it. It's like, okay, I'm now an adult. I have to deal with what I've just done as a pre-adult for the last 3 or 4 years. But now I must think about the end of my career on the first day of my career and work backwards off of that. Because, Kristen, as you know, the hardest thing a person, well, this is my assertion, feel free to disagree. The hardest thing a person will ever do is retire successfully. And so that must be the very first task.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And the most dangerous thing, you and I have talked about this on other medias, and I'm sure we've talked about it here, but maybe not super recently, is one of the most dangerous things that we can do when we enter the workforce and get access to some sort of qualified account for the first time or retirement plan sponsored by your employer, is to capture the match and then just kind of forget that account exists. Like, we have a dollar for dollar match up to 3%. You put in 3%. And for your tenure with that employer, that's just kind of, I love the idea of set it and forget it, but let's make sure that the dollar amount we're contributing makes sense for the best outcome from a retirement perspective.
Let's crank up the provocative nature of this segment.
Oh boy.
And just distill it down to, what are the biggest mistakes a person can make within the first 3 months of their career? Okay. Financially.
Okay. First. I'm scared.
What if I'm scared? No, it's just like the biggest mistakes you can make are to commit to a lease, like a rent payment or a home, before you've factored in retirement savings and or student loan repayment.
I think that's fair.
I think that is the biggest mistake people make, is that with a student loan grace period not ending until January after graduation.
Great point.
That you create this entire financial life on a faulty amount of net income that's going to change in 6 months. And I would say, for the average college graduate with student loan debt, February of the year after they graduate. So what are we going to call that, Kristen? We're going to call that 9 months later.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got a little baby bundle of despair 9 months later.
That's graduation. So sad.
I know, but it's true.
You're not wrong.
Well, I love hearing that. I think that's number one. It's just like the first 9 months are just chaotic. And number two, do you want to go number two? I can hit you with more.
Go ahead.
I think and this one's tough because this is where I do sound like old cranky pants. Mm-hmm. Is not that I don't normally sound like that. I would say it revolves around that exhale of, I'm an adult. I want to make a purchase that makes me feel independent, like I'm an adult. And people get so out over their skis with that move.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's hard to recover from.
Yeah. And my first one, I think, is rooted in that same idea, because your first, I don't know about you, I'll speak for me, but my first job, even though I was making not enough money, it was still the most money I had ever made in my life. And you're just like, well, I'm rich. Like, I have so much money. Look at all this discretionary income that I've never had before. And that income rarely goes as far as we think that it's going to when we enter that first phase of our career. And so I think that what I see that turn into a lot is a car purchase.
Totally. Totally. For us, Mrs. Planner and I know I've told you this story before, and it actually plays into a segment we're going to talk about later in the show. We decided to start our marriage 1 month after college, not only in a new home that we purchased, but with a dog we paid $800 for. Yes, I paid $800 for a dog in September of 2000. $800.
Yeah.
Now, we loved him very much. It is now 2024. I'll do the math for you. The depreciation expenses have run out. He is a lovely, lovely dog.
Aww.
Who we only have memories of at this point. May he rest in peace, Otis. But yeah, that was like one of those things. It's like, okay, we have jobs. Mm-hmm. We have money. Yeah, let's go buy an $800 dog. That makes sense. That's what someone who's 22 does.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong. Do we want to, in the next segment, talk about things we did well and things that we didn't do well?
Yeah. I'll hit you with, I don't know what I did. I don't think I did anything well until I was 28. I'm not sure I still have done anything well, to be quite frank. But you know what? Here's the next segment right here on the show.
Okay.
The next segment is what Kristen has done right and how you can be like her.
Oh, boy. Lovely.
All right. That's what we'll do. Also on the show, we're going to talk pets later in the episode. I have a tribute to a longtime listener that passed away this week. So we're going to talk about that wonderful gentleman later in the show and so much more. It'll be an eventful day here on the Pizza Planner Show. And as we speak, Dame is in paradise texting us pictures where it's like 4 a.m. there. So welcome to island time, my friend. We'll be back right after this. This is the Pete the Planner Show. I am Pete the Planner. Kristen.
Pete.
It's come to my attention that you've come into some money.
Mm. Oh my gosh. Dame really did text us. I thought you were being funny.
Nah, you thought I was being funny?
Yeah. I gave it a thumbs down. Go ahead.
Real quick. You know how we were joking about how you're the only one that still reads reviews on the show?
Yes.
For some dumb reason, the other night, I was like, well, I'm going to jump on and see what I can see.
Kristen's an influencer.
I not only did I see that, but I also saw one from September, which I had previously seen because someone sent it to me, that says Pete thinks he's some sort of comedy genius, but he's not. And I read that again this week, and I was like, there's some truth to that. There is some truth to that. I would not say I'm a comedy genius, although I do understand humor. And I appreciate humor, but I wouldn't say I'm a comedy genius.
That one in particular made me laugh because wasn't it the same one that person said that they were going to continue to listen even though they don't like that aspect of the show?
Yeah. And I also said, I think at the time when we talked about, I don't care that someone, like, here's the thing. I don't care if someone doesn't enjoy the show. Like, it doesn't. It's okay.
I care.
Like, I don't like cottage cheese and Doritos. That doesn't mean I dislike you. I just like, whatever, you like it or you don't, I don't really care.
I care. I'm a people pleaser. I can't help it.
Kristen, you came into some money here recently.
I did.
And you have a little bit of a conundrum.
I do.
can a sister buy something nice for herself?
Okay, first of all, I didn't like come into an inheritance. It's not like an egregious amount of funds, first of all.
Yeah, I think you know your mom and dad who occasionally watch the show or something, it's good for them to know that they're still around.
Yeah, my parents are still among the living and they did not leave me any money. But no, I did. I came in to some money that I wasn't really expecting.
Sure.
And I am having, first of all, this is a first world problem. So don't just let me be here. But I'm having a hard time spending it.
Okay. So let's just, we won't get too specific here, but you've got a full emergency fund.
Yeah.
You don't have any debts other than your mortgage.
I have my student loan, but okay. It's small.
But you got a plan. You got a plan.
Yeah. And I'm on track.
But yeah, so it's like, at what point can you just break yourself off something nice?
I know, but it's like, it is this, like, we talk about our money scripts and our money personalities around here, and I am so money vigilant that it is sometimes to my own detriment. And I think it's hard to have compassion or empathy for people like that, because if you're someone who doesn't have financial stability, your gut reaction is like, oh yeah, it must be nice to have to worry about how you're going to spend money you don't need. And I get that because I've also been there too. And it's like, but I got here from a place of extreme vigilance and now I'm having a hard time.
I think a lot of people with that particular money personality have that same situation. Andy, a legendary listener, agrees with you. I'm curious. So you're going to buy something. You are going to do it. You're going to do it.
Yeah.
Now, here becomes, can I say what it is?
I guess.
You say what it is. For me saying it, somehow it feels like on the nose, but go ahead.
It's a designer bag.
A human would call it a purse. Because at one point in time, we switched from purse to bag and no one knows why and no one cares.
It's
a purse. And here's what I got to know. Will this become such a prized possession that you will never take it out into public? Or will you use it so much to justify the expense? Like, it's one or the other.
It is. You're not wrong. I have a feeling it might become my entire personality. And it will just be, it'll just come with me everywhere that I go, because I will have to bring the cost per use down as quickly as possible and be like, well, actually, over my lifetime, it's really only going to cost me a penny a day to carry this thing. And like, who can't afford that? You know,
I bought a really nice pan, like a nice saute pan, like a really nice, kind of crazy expensive, but I've used it so many times since I bought it, that price per use, baby.
I feel like that's how I'm going to have to justify it, is run the math. I mean, like, who can't afford 3 cents a day? It's like a Sarah McLachlan commercial.
I don't think the commercial is for Sarah McLachlan. I think she just happens to be the soundtrack.
Yeah, but people now know what I'm talking about.
All right, let's go back to the show and talk about all the things you do right. Coming up in 3, 2, 1. Back on the Pete the Planner show, Kristen, a bunch of youngs are going to be launched into the world financially here in the next coming months. They need to start their financial life off on the right foot. I don't know. Why do we say that? Kristen, we've talked a little bit about what not to do. Talked a little bit about what to do. I'm just curious, when you were young. And, you know, I have to say, I feel like I just, in the last segment, I watched you age from the young to now one of the olds by saying, when these kids get in the real world. I feel like that was your final pass through the portico. You are now an old.
Well, that could be true. I told you I have a milestone birthday coming up. I'm really feeling like I'm getting up there.
Well, here's the thing. What did you do when you were a young, in the first couple of years, that you're like, oh, I'm so glad I did that?
Something that might come as a surprise, because my major in college was financial counseling and planning. But Pete, what you and I know about that curriculum is that it's often focused on the 8, 9, 10 of someone's financial life and skips the 1 through 7. And so I had one personal finance class in my undergraduate coursework. I learned all about insurance and estate planning and tax strategies. And I was like, that's all great, but I'm poor. Like, I have no money. I don't know how to manage money. And so I made a very, very conscious and continuous decision to improve my financial literacy.
So you think the best thing you did, or one of the best thing you did, was actually learn about money.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's because I didn't necessarily, like most people, grow up with a lot of proactive conversations about personal finance or financial wellness. And I, you know, in my surroundings, I saw a lot of things that I'm like, ooh, this doesn't feel right. And I don't know why I don't like this or why this feels like it's financially stressful. And I was just so afraid of, one, I think it had to do with like being a first generation college student and not everyone supported spending that much money on education, that I felt like there was so much pressure to succeed, and learning about my personal finances felt like a really natural way to do that.
Yeah. I would say if I think back to those early days when I had hair and was Peter Dunn, there were two things that we did, Mrs. Planner and I, because again, we got married a month after we graduated from college. Two things we did that I look back on, I'm like, wow, that was actually mature and that made a lot of sense.
Sure.
The first is heinously boring and also on brand. We were married. We bought life insurance. Oh. Like, you know, like, again, it's, you know, most students, when they graduate from college, they're probably not going to be married right away. They're not going to have survivors, so to speak. So that made sense for us. And I'm glad I did that, because it really began to take risk management seriously. Nothing like a 22-year-old that takes risk management seriously. I'm a great time.
You're so fun.
I am so fun. The second thing we did, and I actually talked about on the show a couple weeks ago in some capacity, or a few weeks ago, is that Mrs. Planner, from her summers working hard, and I was an investment advisor at the time, she had like $2,500 extra in a savings account beyond an emergency fund. And so with my securities license in tow, I talked her into buying a mutual fund, but an NAV. I mean, I didn't make her pay me commission.
What a guy.
I know. And this was, I got it. I'm thinking hard, which is hard for me. July of 2000. And then we auto deposited $50 a month every month since then.
Yeah, you did. That was that account that you were like, it's just crazy to like look back and be like, $50 doesn't seem like a big deal, but now it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's almost $50,000 now.
That's crazy.
Like, so the idea of, hey, we're just going to put $50 a month in, even when you're 22, it's not, you know, a trivial amount of money. It's going out with your friends one night. $50, we just did it. You forgot about you. We got used to it. It's $50,000. Mm-hmm. And like, that is one of two things I think we actually did in a reasonable way.
Yeah. I had a professor in college tell me that when you enter the real world, if you will, to focus on having, you know, at least 10% of your income going to retirement and get on that debt repayment strategy, because you've never made this kind of money in your life, so you won't miss it.
Can I have a really, really hot take here?
Hotter than like 2 weeks ago?
What was that one? Oh, the
I don't want to repeat it.
That it's selfish to buy a burial plot?
Correct.
I stand by that. How about this one? I think one of the biggest wastes of money for the youngs.
Oh no.
Is international travel.
Ooh. Ellie's in HQ.
I know. Ellie's mad like, at me right now.
Arms in the air.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I think, you're talking about spending what, $3,000-$5,000 on these massive trips. That same money sets you up for life.
Yeah.
There's so much big travel going on from the youngs. And I think I think it's a mistake.
I think that this, like, you can't put a price on memories and you'll never get this time back. And like, I think we've maybe for some people gone a little bit far with it. I mean, I get it, right? Because eventually life just gets in the way and you don't get to do those things. So, but I do think there's balance.
Kristen, what else did you actually do right in your early 20s?
What about, can we slightly pivot and say what things went right because of just like when, how do I want to say this? Just like the age I was when they happened globally. Does that make sense?
Okay. Well, hit me.
So for example, I am so fortunate. This had nothing to do with me, but it did change the trajectory of my financial life to have gone to school after the enactment of the William D. Ford Federal Direct Loan Program, the exclusively federal lending for student loans, and coupled with a low interest rate environment. I would not have been able to be on the debt repayment strategy and then have gone back and gotten a second degree if I had gone to school like a generation ago.
But since then, that same environment not only exists, it persists in the sense that there's still readily available loans for a college education and relatively low interest rates.
True, but the undergraduate caps, I think, are lower than a lot of people think that they are. And it didn't potentially just impact my financial life, but my parents, who we love to talk about how Parent Plus loans are like the second line of defense for funding education. And Parent Plus loans are higher. They have higher loan fees. And because I went to school when it was a little bit cheaper, interest rates were a little bit lower, and I went to a lower cost public school, that changed the trajectory of my financial relationship with my parents potentially.
You know, one thing, and I want to hit before we hit the break here, that is a massive mistake in many instances, is that when a person gets out of their college, they get out, they have a college degree, they don't know exactly what they're going to do, so they go get more education and try to figure it out along the way. And I've just seen time after time after time. Again, the premise here is you don't know what you're going to do. It's not like, oh, I'm going to go to med school. It's like, well, no, you know what you're going to do.
Right.
It's like you just go get a grad degree because you don't know. And Kristen, you're talking about starting not five figures in the hole.
Yeah.
Then you're talking about starting six figures in the hole. And in many cases, the math, it doesn't work. You can't actually recover from that.
No, you get to this place where it's just untenable. And then you are in perpetual deferments and forbearances.
And then you're in this philosophical debate with people who are saying that to you about how you can't put a price on education and enlightenment and how dare you. It's like, well, look, how dare me, but how dare you? Like, I love education. Like, I love knowledge, but there is an actual price tag to it. And if you're going six figures in the hole, not a great way to start your financial life. Speaking of not a great way to start your financial life, Kristen has a pet peeve, and she'll talk about it next right here on the Pete the Planner Show. I'm Pete the Planner. You see what I did there?
I did. For those on the podcast, can I say one thing I did that was bad that I hope other people don't do?
Well, why would I say no to that? Like, like, what are the circumstances of which I'm like,
I didn't know
you need to shut your mouth.
I didn't know if you were in a hurry.
I'm in a hurry. I mean, well, we're just going to go eat tacos.
You say what? Like, I'm in a hurry, as if every other week you don't go, I only have 50 minutes.
Quarter's over, baby. I'm relaxed for the first time in 90 days.
You got it. Okay. I put my student loans. Now, granted, I was broke. I was broke, broke, broke. But I put my student loans on a graduated repayment plan when I graduated college, which, for those who are not familiar, is you still pay them off in 10 years, because I was like, I don't want to have student loans longer than a decade, but your payment starts smaller and increases in 2-year increments, and you pay more over the life of the loan. And I was in this mindset of like, oh, well, I'll continue to make more, which fortunately I did do that, but that doesn't always work out. And it really wasn't the best thing that I could have done.
Yeah, but again, you make the best decision with what you got in front of you.
Oh, yeah, but the problem that I see a lot is that it's kind of similar to the retirement space, where it's like, well, I really don't feel like I can objectively afford more than the employer match, but let that become a back burner item for too long. I circled back and put my loans on standard repayment. I probably let it go a little longer than I should have, but it would be a really easy thing to just like put on autopilot and leave, even once your income increases, to be able to support the higher payment.
Yeah. All right, we're going to come back. I'm going to do a tribute to my friend. Kristen, you know me well enough to know that, like, all I'm thinking about right now is to not lose it. You know, I tend to be a quick tear jerk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you bring it together just as quick usually, so.
I usually do recover fast. I don't ugly cry. I just, yeah, yeah. It's more of a, and then I recover. but it's that's uncomfortable. Okay. And here's the thing. There's certain topics that send me into a when it's deep, when something is deeply personal.
Okay.
Deeply personal. Anytime I talk about my grandpa, or I talk about my wife in any personal sense, publicly, and then usually it's not out of sadness. It's out of appreciation. Like I don't get sad and that causes me to choke up. It's more out of like a positive thing, but my grandpa did it. My dad does it. I do it. Ted's going to do it. He doesn't even know yet. Yeah, baby. Okay.
You also forgot really, really good success stories at YML.
Oh, well, yeah, that's the pride. That's the...
I see. I'm sorry. I lost that in translation.
Yeah, okay. I could barely allude to it in a team meeting. I'm not going to allude to it on the radio. But the one I referenced the other day, I'm like, gee, right. Christmas.
Right. Life-changing. Literally life-changing.
Okay. Okay, let's come back and talk about my friend, and then we'll go right into your hot take about pets.
Okay.
Jeez. How are we going to talk about what I want to talk about and then go into pets? You think I come back in I'll do it. Well, I'll make the segue. I'm a professional.
You're a radio genius, top 1% podcaster.
No, I'm a comedic genius. I think I'm a comedic genius, but I'm not.
Exactly.
But do I think it?
Read the reviews.
3, 2, 1. Back on the Pete the Planner show. You know, as happens from time to time, by the nature of this show being on the air for 15 years now, people close to the show, people who've been not only friendly with the show, but have interacted they pass away. And we're in a tough one this week, as not only did someone who has been very kind to our show over the years pass away, but also someone I have a personal relationship with. So the world lost Howard Maxwell this week. There it goes, Kristen. I almost got choked up. Howard is the dad of Chip, former co-host of the show.
Oh.
And so when Chip and I started the radio show in like 2009, my good buddy Chip, we became good friends in third grade. His dad would listen to the show as anyone would when their son's co-hosting a radio show. And for a long time, he would have this running email dialogue with me about the show and what he thought about it and these sorts of things. And then when I started writing newspaper columns, he would regularly every week just like have a conversation with me about my column via email. He was 80 years old, passed away. Just a incredible guy, military veteran, just a good high character guy. So the world will miss Howard Maxwell and prayers to his family and friends. So Howard, thank you. All right, Kristen, speaking of awkward segues, he would love this. He would actually email like, wow, that was a terrible segue. I'm like, thanks, Howie.
Thank you, Howard.
Kristen, you had a hot take that you wanted to do. We've turned into a hot take machine.
We really have. It's true. And I'm nervous.
Like the Joe Rogan experience here.
Oh, my.
Kristen, you have this thing, and it's actually not different from my take about youth travel sports, which is if you can afford youth travel sports legitimately, they're fine. If you can afford to have pets, legitimately, pets are fine. But if you can't afford youth travel sports and it ruins your financial life, then you should not get involved with youth travel sports. Right. Or if you cannot truly afford the cost of pet ownership, and I don't mean spending $800 on a AKC champion. I mean, even adopting them from Humane Society, then that is a problem. Kristen, did I capture your sentiment?
Yeah, you did. I just think that we don't talk about the cost of pet ownership enough, because it is, to me, when I talk to people about their personal finances, it is a snake in the grass for so many people, because it's just like a societal norm. Like you have a dog or you have a cat or some exotic animal, and we all just, most of us do. And we do not take enough time to think through the fact that for what could be 10 to 15 years, this this animal will cost you probably a lot of money.
How much? Give it a number. You've done the math.
I have. Do you know? Do you want to? Yeah. I will. I'll expose myself.
Guessing game? Can we do a guessing game?
I don't. You don't have a. We can do a guessing game. You don't have pets currently, so I don't know how how in tune to this you might be. But how much do you think I spent on? I have two dogs, and in 2023, how much do you think I spent on them?
Okay, I will answer this question, but I think it's really important to note, to paint the picture. We are broadcasters. It is our job to do this. You have two really good boys laying behind you right now in your studio that you can't actually show us.
No.
But they, because if you do, once you wind those things up, they don't stop.
Correct.
Okay. How much did you spend on your people, dogs, in 2023?
Correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm covering the right thing. Vet care.
Yeah. So this is vet care. Their FOOD, I can't say that word, or they're gonna I almost didn't think that one through. They were gonna
treats. How about treats? Treats.
Those as well. I'm like holding my earpiece, like, so they can't. Dogs have really good hearing. They're gonna be like in my lap in a minute. And then also keep in mind that some of their preventative care, I get it quite a discount and or free because my best friend is a vet.
Oh my gosh. You know, I often think of like, who do you want your best friend to be? Mm. I've got some categories here, and we'll get back to your segment here in a second, but like, here's who you want your best friend to be. Like, okay. This is what you really want. An ER doc.
Oh, good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
A chef. Mm-hmm. And there's one that you think you want him to be, but in actuality, it falls apart very quickly.
A financial professional.
No, a masseuse. Oh. Like, my best friend Gary is a world-class masseuse. Hey, Gary, come rub me. And then you're like, wait a second.
Wait a minute.
Just make me an omelet. What other categories? Danza says hairdresser. What
exactly. Do you want your best- a cosmetologist.
Yeah.
For sure. That's a great one.
A wine dealer.
Another good one.
Okay. I think you spent in the year 2023 AD.
Yes.
Dame with the most hillbilly answer of all time, by the way. Dame is watching the show from paradise at like nothing in the morning, and he says excavator. You want your best friend to be an excavator. That's like, that is the high class hillbilly that is Dame, according to a review. I'm going to go with, what kind of food do they eat? Do they eat like that fresh natural food, or do you
absolutely not. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I have opinions about that.
$2,000.
$2,200.
Ooh, Brian Pinkin said $2,300. I think he's been coming through your finances.
Pretty much nailed it. Yeah.
$2,000. But Kristen, can I counterpoint here for a second?
Are you going to hurt my feelings?
No, God, no. Okay. No. I think that pales in the comparison to the cost of children.
Oh, I'm not saying that it doesn't, but
I'm not trying to talk you into kids, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But I'm not saying that it doesn't, but I also think that there are more conversations. I mean, how many times on this show do we talk about how expensive kids are? How often do you and Dame say that? And I'm like, I'm not saying that it's not expensive, but how often, take that example, do you see someone who's like, well, we got the kids a puppy. So you have this really expensive child and then you got it an expensive child?
Yeah, I that's fair. I think I'm with you on this point, by the way. It's a sad story. I have a story from back when I was a financial advisor. Why do I get into these situations? Why am I about to tell you this story? It's really sad. It's a really terribly sad story. This woman was battling cancer. And she loved her two dogs, and they just both also got cancer. And so, as you might imagine, a person who's battling cancer is not going to abandon her pets who have cancer. So she spent tens of thousands of dollars to save the dogs. Mm-hmm. By the way, the end of the entire story is terrible. So I'm not going to tell you the story. It's an awful.
Redeeming.
No, there's no redeeming quality to the story, other than to say where it really gets rough is when something really goes wrong, and then you're using your emergency savings to do that. Or if you don't have emergency savings, then you're going into debt. When the credit card comes out at the vet and with no intention of paying it off immediately, that is the sign of, oh no, we're in trouble.
Yeah. I said that my best friend's a vet, and the conversations that she has to have about management of care based on lack of affordability are just unbelievable.
And I think too, like, do you ever imagine there's like some guy in the woods with a German Shepherd that has a tennis ball and he feeds them like deer.
Right.
And it's like that dog costs nothing.
Nothing.
Or, I mean, that dog, like, there are pets that cost nothing.
Right.
But in some level, I mean, does the average pet owner spend, well, you have two dogs. So you say they're $1,000 a year each?
Yeah, they cost me.
$83 a month for dogging isn't that bad.
It's not great though. And I think my point, the whole takeaway of this is that I think when people get into pet ownership, that it's often way more expensive than we think it's going to be.
Point taken. The boarding, the grooming, the matching outfits. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, come back with biggest waste of money of the week, which are not going to be pets, and the news right here on the Pete the Planner Show. I'm Pete the Planner. Can I tell you the rest of the story?
No.
It's terrible. Like, it is worst case scenario end of that story.
No, I don't.
I know, it's terrible. I was actually a financial advisor for about 12 years, right? Yes. During that time, I lost 8 clients who passed away. And I think about them a lot because when you put together someone's sort of financial plan, you're involving yourself in their lives theoretically for decades.
Sure.
And when that plan goes awry and you don't get to see the completion of the plan in a good way, then you're left seeing the completion of a financial plan based on risk management. Did the person have life insurance? Did they have disability insurance? Did they have an actual estate plan that makes the survivors easier? And I can rattle off all 8 people's names. I can still rattle off their spouses and kids' names. Like, it's one of those things that scars you and sticks with you as a financial advisor. And you just hope that you made what is a terrible thing just a little bit easier. But each story is worse than the next, because that's the whole point. Yes, I worked with some elderly folks, but I was working with people my age,
right?
You know, a lot. And even though I'm close to elderly now, I wasn't back in the time. Oh, good times. Happy Easter, everybody. Favorite Easter candy?
Reese's peanut butter eggs.
I mean, no question.
No question.
And scene. Yeah, exactly. Do you freeze them or do you eat them at room temp?
I would say I don't like them frozen. I feel like even ice cream, I let melt for an egregiously long amount of time, put them in the fridge, because I do like them chilled.
Yeah. I freeze them hard. Yeah. They're delicious. I've not had one this season. Have you had any?
I haven't had one.
That's weird. Isn't that weird? I usually will. How many a season will you consume?
It depends on if I hope she's not watching this show, because then she's going to feel guilty and do this, and she doesn't have time for this. But
your mom or Kaylin?
It's my mom, because she still, like, as adults, has often done Easter baskets for us. And if she's listening or watching this, you do not have the time to get me an Easter basket, and I'm too old for an Easter basket. But it kind of depends on what. I don't know that I ever buy them for myself. It's like someone gives them and I eat them.
But Kristen would like an Easter luxury purse.
No. Yeah. Yes, I would. Yes, I would.
I think I consume about 10 Reese's peanut butter eggs per season, but I've at 0 right now. And I'm going on spring break, so I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And I feel like they're around even longer all the time, too. Yeah.
You know what? Danza brought up the eclipse. Lucky Indianans, Hoosiers. So, Kristen, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you're going to get a tattoo of the eclipse.
Okay.
You don't have to say where. And 1 being I could give a rip. Where are you?
0. one. Like, I could not care less. Okay. Also, please, news outlets, stop telling people to stock up on food, because that you have, people have enough food in their houses to survive. Generally, most of us, my pantry, if I was forced to, I could eat out of my pantry for probably an embarrassingly long amount of time. Don't tell people to stock up on food. Our supply chain cannot handle it.
Oh my gosh. That was so much more aggressive than I was going to go. And I like it. I respect and I have no problem. I'm talking about my feelings. So if other people feel differently, that's great. I'm not even disagreeing with them. I'm just giving my perspective. I don't care at all.
No.
Mrs. Planner this morning handed me a pair of these glasses that you're supposed to wear because she got them from the kids' school. And I put them on. You can't see anything. I was like looking up at a bright light in my house. Can't see the light through the glasses. I'm like, I know that's the point. But
okay.
But like, what? People, wow, you'll never see it again. It's like, I've never seen a kangaroo getting a fist fight with a bunch of grapes. Like, I there's a lot of things I haven't seen that I don't care to see. And I'm just like, I don't care. I just want it to be over. But I'm happy for people. I'm thrilled for people who care.
I always mess up that phrase. And one of these days I'll get it that you said. It was like, I appreciate that we can have different interests. I'm happy for you. I don't care.
Yeah. Man.
Big Rick in the comments from the top rope a little bit.
All right. Oh, the glasses are designed to stare at the sun. Okay, let's go move on. I just started reading emails during the show. I'm sorry.
It's the end of the quarter, you said.
I know. I should have read that one. I am relaxed.
That's good.
For eight business hours.
I will not be. I have a lot of emails to send.
I sent them all this morning. Okay. Let's go back to the show that we are both a part of, allegedly. 3, 2, 1. Back on the Pete the Planner show. This week's biggest waste of money of the week is... Man, somehow I was not ready for that, even though I started the segment. The Panzer Off-Road Electric Scooter. Custom Robotics Panzer is a heavy-duty scooter designed for the harshest job sites. The scooter is aimed at professional work with dual direct drive motors powering fully suspended tracks. Can I get a timeout, Kristen?
Dame's not here, but I suppose.
And the timeout is because of Dame. He would understand what all of those words just meant.
What tracks are?
Well, no, there was some dual motoring.
Okay.
All right. Ride time clocks in at about 1 hour on a full charge. And the on-off switch features a voltage readout for monitoring. Safety is also a priority, of course.
Naturally.
With dual LED headlamps, if you don't happen to carry a flashlight in your pocket, and a dual grip drive system that requires both hands to be on the handlebars to move. Custom Robotics is taking pre-orders for the Panzer now. Kristen, what are you thinking there? I mean, you can see it on the screen. Big Rick Swank. Have you? That's quite the cast, pal. What do you got, Kristen?
I am going to go 14,000.
Oh, should have listened to Andy. $10,000.
Oh, that was pretty close. That was pretty good for me, I feel.
Okay. Kristen, what's in the news this week?
Oh, come on, man. Robinhood, our favorite stock trading app, it's making its way into the consumer market. That's right. Robinhood just announced the launch of the Robinhood Gold Card, a rewards card for their gold subscribers, currently waitlist only, of course. The gold card will sport the following: no annual fee. Love that. 3% cash back on eligible purchases. Don't know what that means. And 5% cash back on purchases through the Robinhood travel portal, which brings me to my question, Pete. What number are you on the wait list?
Oh, man. I'm going to pass. I'm going to stick with my American Express card.
I'm not sure. So I read the rest of the article, and I think that the key here is that the rewards have to be put into your Robinhood account. So it keeps the money, it keeps you coming back to their investment app, I think is the approach.
That's genius.
So, I mean, and also I don't know what eligible purchases are. 3% is high. 3% cash back is pretty high, but I don't know what is eligible.
Well, here's the thing I think of is I don't know anything about gambling apps. I literally don't have any. I've never seen one. I don't know anything. But my guess is your winnings go into a holding account before they find their way into your actual bank account, because they want you to then lose right. your winnings. So it's a very similar feel to me.
Yeah.
I like that. As I'm saying, I don't know anything about gambling apps. You're getting this sheepish look on your face. Like, should I tell him about all the gambling apps on my phone?
No, but I know lots of people who have gambling apps on their phone
that probably work here. Do you think it's an unfair question if I'm interviewing someone to say, do you gamble on sports? Do you think that's any HR folks on here? I know we broadcast this on LinkedIn. Am I able to? I've never asked anyone that, but do you think I would be able to?
Whether you should be able to or are able to and whether you should are probably different things. And I probably would not ask someone that because you're quite jaded to the sports gambling world.
I think it's based on good information. What else is on the news this week?
Being a driver or a passenger in Manhattan will be getting more expensive. In a 12-1 vote, the Metropolitan Transit Authority, MTA, approved legislation for a, quote, congestion pricing fee schedule, unquote. The fee schedule has been released and is tentatively set to begin on June 15th. There will be peak and off-peak pricing, as well as discounts for using the Easy Pass. So essentially, it's going to become during peak hours, you're going to pay more to drive in Manhattan, I think, in an attempt to reduce congestion. But I thought we could play a little guessing game. Yeah. So it's broken down by peak and off peak. I'll tell you what peak times are, but it's also broken down by vehicle type.
Okay.
So this is the fees for using, if you use an Easy Pass. So these are the discounted rates. Here's the peak times: 5 a.m. until 9 p.m. on weekdays.
Yep.
And 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. on weekends.
Okay. Not a lot of off-peak hours there.
The waking hours of like 90% of the population is peak.
Okay.
How much is a passenger driver going to pay with Easy Pass on peak?
What's weird about this is there's a lot of math involved in my head right now. There's, sure. I think of like the bridge in Louisville to get to Louisville from Indiana and like that cost of crossing it. But then I got to go to New York prices.
Yeah.
$14.
$15.
Ooh.
Now, what do you think the off-peak price is? Passenger vehicle.
12.
$3.75.
That's the craziest spread of all time.
Isn't that wild?
That's not even dynamic pricing. That's
unreal is what it is.
I'm trying to find the incentive or the disincentive there. Like, is the disincentive don't come to our city except when everyone's asleep and you can steal their stuff? Like, what?
I don't know. And so, okay, the other category that I found really interesting is passengers of taxis. And then also there's a category for Uber, Lyft, and other rideshare passengers.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's just a logistical nightmare. Like, to say that it's $1.25 per ride on top of your fare, on top of the Uber dynamic pricing, on top of the airport fee that I pay. Like, it's just, come on.
New York's my favorite city in the world. I love it very much. But once I'm in the city, I am walking or I'm on a train and I am not going in any other way.
No.
But see, also a lot of people who live in Manhattan don't have cars. So it really is people commuting in for work, but they should be taking the trains too.
Yeah. Do you want to guess if you don't use an Easy Pass, how much it'll cost you during?
Oh, Lord. I hadn't even thought about that.
It's $15 if you have an Easy Pass.
$22.50. Oh, my gosh.
Is that crazy?
What's crazy isn't the price, is that I got it right-ish.
Right.
do we have time for one more news story?
Yeah, I think we do. Do you want to hear about airplane seats?
Well, I'm flying this weekend, so yes, hopefully it's a safety issue.
You add it to the list. No, you will not be flying this airline. Frontier announced this month a new seating option, Upfront Plus. That's right. The budget airline has added yet another upgrade option to its menu. Now you'll be able to pay to have the middle seat next to you be empty. Introductory prices are set to start at $49 per person each way. And after the intro period, prices will be based on demand. So here's my question.
Yeah.
At what point do you just like not fly a budget airline?
Ever? I don't, it's not really my thing.
Okay, I can't relate to that.
That's interesting because when I fly, I'm hat, hoodie, noise canceling headphones. I don't even know what's going on around me. So I actually don't care if someone's sitting next to me like that, that's not a thing.
You don't watch the flight attendants do their like safety thing?
Is that a serious question?
I do, because I feel bad for them. They have to do it.
You are the kindest person in the world. I will say I flew Air Canada once into leaving Canada and into Canada. And by Canadian law, at least at the time, you had to remove your headphones and listen to it. Really? Like, and so they were like yelling at me, and not because I was trying to be disrespectful, it's just because I wasn't used to it.
Interesting.
But no, I'll tell you this, like if I'm taking a red eye home from LA or something, I get on the plane, hoodie, hat, I'm asleep by the time 80% of the people get on the plane. Like I am oblivious other than the kid that threw up on me on the way home from Kansas City, like 3 years ago.
Ew.
I am oblivious to everyone around me. Oh, and it's with awful. That. Enjoy your peeps, everyone. Happy Easter. Kristen, good job on the news today. You and Dave make it look easy. When I do the news, I'm like, ar. Okay. Hey, everyone, have a good Easter Sunday with your family listening on the radio. Those listening on the podcast, Tuesday's fine too. Send you good vibes. Good vibes. There's all that's in the budget. I'm Pete the Planner. This is the Pete the Planner Show. Whew. Yeah. Do you want to hear the Pucon story or not really want to? Yeah, it's not a great one. You know the bag I was telling you about before the show that was in my office? Thrown up all over that bag.
But it was real leather.
Yeah, but I mean, what? I don't know what vomit and leather do together. Do they equal, like, it's just, am I Spider-Man now? Like, No.
Just, it can be cleaned properly, yeah.
You really listen to the flight attendants? And no disrespect to flight attendants. I mean, really, honestly, no disrespect, but, like, you listen to them.
Yeah, I do. Cause I'm too much of an empath, but if I were having to stand up in front of people and give this safety brief that I know no one cares about, cause when they're like, do you volunteer to help people in the event of an emergency? If I'm in the exit row, I'm saying yes, but like every man for himself.
And what about women?
Them too.
Okay.
And I'm like, if I were standing up there, I feel like I would be upset.
I'm going to ask my flight attendant this weekend. I'm going to say, I'm going to be like, hey, Kristen Laney is from Kristen & Co. Media darling. She suggested on the radio that you feel disrespected if people don't look at you when you're speaking. I'm going to ask, and then we will talk about it here in a couple weeks.
Okay.
I very much respect flight attendants and pilots. Like when I get off a plane, I had this debate with my friend Sam a couple years ago. Get off a plane, I'm walking up, they're all standing there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Say thank you to them. Mm-hmm. And he's like, why are you thanking them for doing their job? And I'm like, wait, you don't thank people for doing their job? He's like, They're doing their job. I'm like, you can still have gratitude.
Especially given the current news cycle.
Yeah.
You made it.
Anyway, no show next week.
I know.
Are you excited by that?
Actually, I am using that time to do a podcast. First.
You're doing another podcast.
Yeah. With Brooke.
Brooke?
Correct.
From back in the day?
Correct. Brooke is still a listener of the show. She just
really?
Met me yesterday, and she asked if I would co-host a session with her. And well, that's amazing.
Former coworker,
brilliant personal finance brain.
We've had a lot of those around here.
Yes, we have.
Kristen, good to see you. Miss Dame too, but good to see you.
Yeah.
I'll see you here in a couple of weeks. Everyone else, thanks for listening this first 3 months. We'll come back after the break with maybe stock market updates. We'll see what DJ Teach stock is. Actually, let's look at a little bit. Let's dig into this a little bit.
You should have picked that for your winner for the year.
I mean, I was thinking about this. I was like, well, would you pick it for its as a winner or as a loser? What would you pick it as? Because ultimately it will go to nothing.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be in a year.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, Pete, you just said that and you have really, you tend to like really hit the nail on the head with stock picks, but sometimes get the timing wrong.
Oh, I always get the timing wrong.
So I'm like, if you're like, it's not going to be in a year, maybe I did pick it as a loser then.
Yeah. I can't even see like what analysts aren't even covering it. Like there's no way any analyst is going to say buy this. It's just impossible.
Mm.
Oh man. It's fascinating. Only 1% of the stock is institutionally owned. Now, I don't know if that's a byproduct of it being new.
How much does he own?
I think he like 50% ish. And I don't want to misreport things, but I feel like the stock's worth 8 to 9 billion, or the company's worth 8 to 9 billion, and he's got 3 or 4 billion of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No one cares what I think about that, but it'll be interesting to watch. Kristen, good luck with your luxury purse and affording those animals of yours.
Thank you.
Everyone else, stay getting money.